You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everstwar Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me here. It's a huge honor. Thank you, Sean. You're the man. Sean's my second father. He wishes. Seriously, thank you for being here, allowing me to be here today. It really is just a huge honor, everyone. And it's Dude Week. That's pretty cool, huh? Come on, y'all. Hey, I would talk about Dude Week, but just so many of the things we did were so detestable. I just don't think they're appropriate for chapel. I'm going to move on from that pretty quickly. So have a good Dude Week. I was watching the students who are just visiting today kind of by earlier, and you know they're in a single file line and they're real nervous walking in here, and it's pretty funny. But I was thinking about when I first visited Bethel back in 2011. I was a senior in high school, and I sat right back there, I think exactly where you guys are sitting, for my first chapel ever out of like 150 of these things. And yes, I used every skip I ever had. You can bet on that. But I was sitting back there and I was observing this chapel service, and it was really cool because I had no ambitions of being a speaker or even a pastor yet at that time. But I was watching this service and I don't remember what it was about, but I remember thinking, wow, that'd be really, really cool to do someday. And so it's just a really, really cool thing for me to be here today. So thank you for allowing me to do this. As I was kind of preparing for all of this, I kind of had like four different ideas of things that I really wanted to talk to you guys about today. And my wife, Addie, she's amazing. You saw her in that cool video that they played about me. She was just getting on me. She's like, Cole, this is ridiculous. These are great messages, but you really need to talk about your story, be vulnerable, and share in these past few years. Am I doing something wrong here? You want, okay, thank you, sir. Yeah, Sean. Dude Week. All right, back to my story. So I'm talking with my wife about what I'm supposed to speak about, and she was like getting a little mean, like, Cole, you need to just be vulnerable with these people. They need you. Okay, and I'm like, yes, honey, yes, babe. So today, really, what I want to do is I want to be a little bit vulnerable with you guys. I want to get real about some of the stuff that's gone on in my life these past 4 years since I've graduated Bethel, and even before that while I've been here. But my hope is that this would help you and add value to your next steps. You know, we're here at school and we always focus on what's ahead. You know, you're in class to get the degree for the future so that I can be good at that, so that I can know how to be a good nurse or a good businessman, whatever it is that you're in. And I want to hopefully add value to that sort of thing for you here today. And so when I came to Bethel in 2016, which I just met, the seniors, when did you guys start? Would any of you have been here when I was here? No? Okay, that sucks. I wish I would know you. That's what I'm saying. But when I got here in 2016, I actually came in as a chemistry professor, and it's really interesting because, yeah, look, she's like, that was my advisor right there. And, you know, I was going to make a joke about that, but I won't now because I don't know why I did that. And God bless all of you that do the sciences. It's amazing. But I just think I was a little confused. But eventually, soon after, I kind of felt this call to go into full-time ministry, vocational ministry. And, you know, that was kind of a process of teasing that out and testing it and seeking wise counsel and then jumping into that route, I guess you could call it. And it was really interesting. I've been thinking about this. Like, those earliest times for me where I decided I'm going into ministry were really characterized by this sort of ambitious posture, I guess you could call it, where I quickly realized I want to be the best pastor of all time. And I just had this ambition to me. And I would have told you back then, you know, God's called me to do some of the greatest things in the world. And, you know, everybody from all over the world is going to come to me for the answer someday. And I'm going to have these podcasts and this huge church and all this stuff. And it was this, like, ambition thing that I had to do as much as I possibly could for the kingdom of God through my ministry. And you can kind of giggle at that because it is a little bit ridiculous. But that was kind of how I started my path in ministry was I'm going to do everything I can to do the most that I possibly can. And I chased that. And I did all the things you're supposed to. Like, you know, I was reading books and listening to podcasts and attaching myself to people like Terry Linhart and people that I wanted to be like, and I was seeking out the best internships, and you know, I'm driving over to Napanee Missionary Church 3 times a week, and I'm just doing everything I can in hopes that I can be the best pastor that I possibly could be, and that's just the route that I was on. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, I graduated from this wonderful school. It was called Bethel College back then. Now it's a university, and I'm not really sure the difference, but that's not a joke. I don't understand the difference. But I graduated from Bethel, and I was so ambitious, is what I'm calling it, that I finished my last final that Thursday or Friday, packed up my stuff, and got out of there, and that Sunday morning, I actually started my first job. I didn't even walk at graduation because I was so excited just to start being a pastor in ministry, and so I just jumped in. I didn't even go to my own graduation, and my grandma still is super mad at me about that, actually. But I just jumped in, and it was an amazing church. And to be quite honest with you, if I can do that, I did pretty well. I did well. You know, I climbed the ladder pretty quick, whatever you want to call it. You know, I was quickly leading our student ministry team. You know, I got to speak 5 or 6 times a year from our main stage. And, you know, I was starting to get invited to, like, camps and all this stuff that, like, these are like the boxes that you check in getting better and getting older. For a pastor, I'm checking the boxes. But about a year and a half in or so, we were at a camp. We took some of our high school students to a camp, and we're sitting there in the service, and it was an awesome, awesome service. You know, great speaker, great worship, and you know, God's just moving. It was so cool. And in the middle of this service, I had my very first ever panic attack or anxiety attack, whatever you want to call it. And I literally didn't know what was happening. I actually thought I was like having a heart attack at first. And you know, if you're panicking and you think you're dying, that always kind of escalates that whole situation. And that was a little bad. But this whole situation, this moment lasted about 45 minutes of me kind of losing my mind. And this moment for me kind of marked a season in my life of about a year where I was just riddled with anxiety and depression and at points suicidal tendencies even. And if you know me, that's not me. And I walked through this year of pain, really, really, really horrible pain where I couldn't sleep at night. I'm not kidding you. I would stay up all night about 3 times a week. Because I could not fall asleep. And I eventually, after about a year, I came clean and was honest with my senior pastor about some of these things. But what happened was, you know, when we're honest as Christians, we usually, like, we're honest, like, to a point, and then it stops, and we like to leave out some of the, like, the details of what's really going on. And that's kind of what I did. But through that, I got into counseling and sought some wise counsel. And actually, as of now, today, not today, but this moment in my life, I've been pretty much anxiety and depression free for about a year and a half now, which is really sweet. Yeah, and praise God for that. And sometime, Sean, you'll have to have me back. I would love to talk about that specific topic. I'm super, super passionate about mental health. And God taught me so much through those seasons in my life and what I went through back then that, yeah, I'm just very passionate about that. But what happened was about 6 months ago, there were, like I said, there were some of these details of just some things going on in my life. And just kind of out of respect for my own kind of story and privacy, I'm going to be a little bit vague, and I apologize for that. But I had realized that some of these things kind of held on a little bit. And while my anxiety and my depression was gone, some of these other issues that I was facing, my wife and I were facing, not in our marriage, but just together, they stuck around. And I really want to be free. I want to be able to love Jesus with everything that I am. I want to be able to do ministry well. And I know that I cannot have that if I have baggage hanging off of me. And so again, I go to my senior pastor, and this is probably the scariest moment of my life, because I'm not sure if he's going to let me go or not on the spot. But I come to my senior pastor, I talk to him, and this really began a season for my wife and I where, and again, I'm getting real, and I know that this is heavy and this is actually pretty recent in my life, but we actually got let go from that church. And for me, That was probably the worst moment of my life. It is, you know, I have made these plans, God. I have this person. I'm supposed to do this by now. And I'm supposed to be launched from this place. This is supposed to be my trampoline to jump out of into the world, to go and plant a church probably someday. And I have all these plans, and every plan that I've ever made is in pretty much one moment shattered. And it was horrible. It really was terrible. We were broken. I've heard people talk about brokenness, and I finally understand what they're talking about, because we were broken. And just for some comic relief really quick, in the middle of this serious story, we were actually on our way home from this, and my wife, you know, we'd been crying super hard, and my nose was actually bleeding super bad, which was really awkward, and I'm trying to clean up my bloody nose while I'm kind of getting let go. And my wife, there's this like moment of silence, and she goes, you know, Cole, if we're not going to be in ministry, I think she's getting real serious. If we're not going to be in ministry, I'm going to cuss more. I said, what's wrong with you? But that's just a funny in the middle of the serious story. But so we entered this season where we were confused, hurt, and broken, and didn't know what to do. Okay? And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of these things that I've learned in this season, some things that I think you can really grab onto and use in your own life, some perspectives you can really shift in your life. Because what I've learned is that oftentimes we are very hungry people. We're ambitious people. You know, we want to do well, right? Like, I want to be great at what I do. I would say probably everybody would agree with that. I want to be great. I want to change the world. I want to do things that matter. I want to matter. But the process that God uses to get people to those places is much different than I think we often think it is. And I want to talk to you about today how God oftentimes, he makes these promises, because he's a really good God, and I believe that with all my heart. He's a great God that wants great things for you. He wants to use you. He wants to grow you and give you blessing and all of these things. But there's always this process that usually actually involves pain before you can get to promise. Okay, you can't get to the process. You can't get to the I said that backwards. You can't get to the promise without the process. Does that make sense? And I know that sounds like simple, and it's like, oh man, we've heard this message before, but there's something about like, man, at knowing it and having walked through it that I want to hopefully help you with today. And so I've been reading a ton about Jesus in the Gospels recently, about this image that he uses that I think illustrates this process really well of grapes and wine. And it's also really funny that we're going to talk about wine today, because it's Bethel. That's awesome. So I'm feeling a little rebellious. Don't drink, okay? I love the pictures Jesus gives us of grapes and wine throughout the Gospels. You know, John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana, where Jesus performs his first miracle, where he turns the water into wine. And then John chapter 15 is another one that I kind of both love and hate. One, I love it because of what it is and how much is in there. And two, I hate it because Dr. McCabe made me translate it from Greek my senior year, and it just was really hard. You know, I got a D, I think. But That's not true. But I love that passage, Jesus. He's talking about grapevines and trimming branches and bearing fruit and all of these concepts, all the way up until the Last Supper, where Jesus, he's standing there with his 12 disciples at this table, and he holds up this cup of wine, right? You know the story. He holds up this cup of wine. And I've been reading this book lately called Crushing by T.D. Jakes. Such a good book. You got to read it. And I've learned so much about this concept through him. But he holds up this cup of wine. And it's really interesting because Jesus, in many ways, has synergy, I guess you could say, with the contents of the cup. Because just as Jesus was born to die, grapes are also, for a winemaker, raised to be crushed so that they can become wine. Grapes are raised to be crushed so that they can become wine. It's a really interesting concept to me, is that a grape and wine, they're not the same thing, right? Grapes, you know, winemakers, I don't know if that's the right terminology. Is it winemaker? Wino? I truly don't drink wine, but winemakers raise grapes to crush these grapes and become wine. And the interesting thing about this is wine for a grape is kind of the ultimate form of the grape. Like, whereas a grape can rot and die, wine is resilient. It stands the test of time. It grows over time. Flavors increase as you leave it sit. And wine is the ultimate form of a grape. It's like what every grape wants to be when it grows up, is wine. But it's through this crushing process, this pressing, this squeezing process that only a grape can become wine. It has to be crushed. It has to be crushed. And I think it's so fascinating. Some of you know where I'm going with this. I really often think sometimes, like, I'm going to go back to these ambitions that we have. We have these goals, these dreams. I want to do this. And we forget to realize that the invitation of Jesus is to take up your cross. He says, you want to go there? All right, come on, let's go die. It's awkward almost. And this is what I'm walking through in my life, is at first I thought, man, this is the end of me. I thought I was going to do all that. And now I'm beginning to realize that the crushing process is actually just the beginning. It's what we have to walk through. It's that certain death that we have to experience before we can experience life, you know. And if any man wants to gain his life, he'll lose it. It's found everywhere. It's this crushing process that I think we have to go through in order to get to the place that God has prepared for us. It's really interesting. And that's a good word, isn't it? Okay. The other kind of part of wine making, I don't even like wine. It's just really relatable to my story. But the other kind of, the second part of this wine making process is also really interesting to me. They crush these grapes and they especially back then, they would walk on them and turn them into these juices. And they go into this next stage where they go into these barrels and they sit and they wait. And I call it like a season of obscurity sort of thing. Where the wine isn't seen, it's really not cared about, it's unusable until the right time. And I think God oftentimes uses these same kind of seasons of obscurity where we feel like, man, I don't have it. Nobody cares about me. I'm not important. I'm not doing the important thing. I'm just, you know, Terry called it cleaning toilets when I was in college. I'm not doing the amazing things I want to do. It's like a season of obscurity. And I think there's something to be said about how God uses these seasons to ready people for the destiny that he has in mind for them. You know, there's something to be said about Moses having to be in the tent for 30 days. Or Joseph having to go through prison and slavery for years before he gets to lead an entire nation of people. Or Jesus, he doesn't even start his ministry till he's 30. It's beautiful to me. It's like an unborn baby, and we know that the more premature a baby is born, the less chance of survival. And I think oftentimes one of the best ways I can illustrate this is I get to work with young adult guys and girls sometimes, and I often talk to women about this, is they feel this pressure to not be single, and I know this is hitting home at Bethel, okay? I went to this place, trust me. But, like, it's, does anybody want me? Am I ugly? Does God care that I don't want to be alone? And I think oftentimes what we fail to understand is it's not that God doesn't care. I think oftentimes it's God's protecting us. He's keeping us. So that when the time is right, you're ready. You're ready to come out. You're ready to take your torch and run. And it's these seasons of obscurity. It's the crushing and the obscurity that I think God oftentimes walks us through before he gets us to our destiny. And this is right where I'm at. And I'm right in the middle of it, to be honest with you. And you know, you're supposed to only preach about things that, like, you know, and if you talk about something bad, it's supposed to have happened more than 2 years ago. Like, those are the unwritten rules. But for me, I just want to be vulnerable. And I want to tell you that sometimes this stuff is hard, and I must have forgotten early on that God uses processes like this to get his people to where he wants them to be so that they can do the things with maturity that they want to. And I don't know what that looks like for you. You know, oftentimes it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a bad relationship with one of your parents. You know, maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's that abortion I had. Maybe it's the mental illness that I've got going on. Maybe it's the stupidity that I feel. And I'm not saying God is the one that causes these things, but what I am saying is oftentimes he uses these crushing moments in our lives to get us to the place that he actually wants us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's amazing. And so, I just want to speak to you where you're at. You know, I don't know, maybe you're graduating this year, maybe you got 4 years to go, who knows. But I know that you have some sort of probably ambition, whatever it might be. And my goal today is to help you understand that again, it sounds simple, life isn't going to be easy. Your marriage is not going to be easy someday. Your parenting, it will go wrong at some point. Your job, whatever that is, it's not going to always go well. But I want to urge you this morning, like, don't quit. Because oftentimes these aren't the seasons that God's like, I'm out of here, you're done with that. These are the seasons that God's like, oh, she's finally ready for what I want to give to him or her. It's such an amazing thing to me, y'all. It's such an amazing thing. And so I just want to bring this up. Like, the invitation of Jesus that he gives to us is awkward. Like, this is an invitation that would empty churches to pick up your cross. To pick up your cross. And, you know, a cross is the symbol of Christianity. You know, crosses are only meant for killing people. And that's the invitation. But the beautiful part of the message is pick up your cross, but you don't have to stay there. How many of y'all know Jesus, he ain't on the cross anymore? Yeah, it's a good word. He's on the throne. He's on the throne. And so he invites us to walk through a process that might hurt really bad for you. Honestly, it probably will. But the amazing news is that you don't have to stay there. You're a grape, but you're going to be wine. I'm making new wine out of you. Something that's stronger, something that withstands time, that's resilient, that's powerful. Something that's free. I believe God wants to make wine out of us. But y'all, we have to walk through crushing to get to it. And I wish that wasn't the case for you. I wish it wasn't the case for me. But to be honest with you, my wife and I both, we are already at the point where we are unbelievably thankful for the challenges that have actually come our way. Some of the things that we've walked through these past 4 years, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but I'm at a place where I'm honestly like, Lord, thank you. And in a way, I almost, because of the things that he's given to me and the person that he's made me over these past 4 years out of the issues that I've had, I'm almost welcoming of the next challenge. It's like, you know, James says, be grateful for trials of many kind. I never understood that until now. But I do. And so that's my encouragement for y'all today. I'll get you out of here soon. I heard some girls out here earlier, they were saying, man, chapel better get over early today. So I've been like sweating ever since I heard that. Okay? I don't know if we do this here. Can we stand and I'll just pray for us quick? I like it. I like family stuff. So if you want to like put your arm around your dude week friend, I don't know. Stuff like that is cool to me. Hey, let me pray for you quick. Lord, thank you so much for Bethel University now. God, thank you for what you do in people's lives here. Lord, thank you for the people that you're preparing for the battle. God, I just ask that you would be gracious to us today, that you would allow us to know your presence, your goodness, God, that you do have good things for us. And Lord, I pray that whatever you ask us to do, we would say yes, no matter how hard it is, no matter how painful, no matter how scared or fearful we might be. God, I pray that we would be people that would say yes to you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I love you. God, go Bethel College or University. Amen. It's hard.
It is hard. Thank you, Cole.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.